둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the episode. I do hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday makes it a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones. You can grab us anywhere you get your podcast from. That, of course, includes Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to leave a rating and a review if you feel so inspired as well. That always helps out. We've had some great guests drop by lately. Comedian, actor, musician H. John Benjamin was here. You also know him as the voices of Bob from Bob's Burgers and Archer. Keith Urban dropped by. Comedian, musician Tim Heidecker, Les Claypool of Primus, David Yao of the Jesus Lizard. We talked with Keith Powers and John Luis Castellanos from the movie Uglies on Netflix. John Early, another comedian, musician. Josh Tillman as Father John Misty. Sugar Ray Rayford, the Grammy-nominated blues artist. Kiana Simone, who stars in The Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eat. And Akon to discuss the 20th anniversary of his debut album, Trouble. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today's a special rewind episode. We're headed back to 2017 when Joe Scarborough dropped in to talk about his music, politics, of course, Morning Joe. Of course, he's been the Morning Joe host for well over a decade now, a former congressman, once named by Time Magazine as one of the most influential people in the world. We got to discuss his songwriting, what finally led to releasing it publicly. He'd been a musician for most of his life, but had never really done it publicly. We also talk, of course, about how politics makes its way into his music. And one of the really great little side effects of this interview was it eventually led me to doing some work on Morning Joe on MSNBC for about 5 years as one of the music correspondents on there. Easily one of the highlights of my life and career. So I owe Joe lots and lots of thanks. And also just how much I always have fun talking with him about music. He's a music head. He knows so much about so many different artists and genres. And so this is where it begins. Let's jump into it. It's a rewind episode. It's Kyle Meredith with Joe Scarborough.
I figured we got to start with the most obvious thing because, you know, it was definitely a surprise. I get an email from Sony Red and they say, hey, I'm sure you didn't know this, but Joe Scarborough is a musician and he has EPs. And you know, I mean, the first time you hear that, you think, oh, no, I don't know how this is going to be. You don't know how this is going to be. And then I heard it and I was so instantly surprised and taken aback. And then when that leaves, you know, I was able to just sit and enjoy the songs for what they are. So, you know, we've got to start at the obvious spot. Like, how long have you been doing this? Have you always been a musician? Does this go all the way back?
Yeah, you know, my mom pushed me to take, she was a master. She got her master's in music at University of Kentucky. And when I was five, she started pushing me to take piano lessons. She taught piano. And of course, being a five-year-old boy, the last thing I wanted to do was be in a class with all girls playing, you know, piano. Right. And so that lasted for about 3 years, 4 years. I wanted to be in like a shortstop for the Atlanta Braves when I grew up, not a piano player. And so, of course, the second I quit, I started sort of making my way to the piano on my own and just started playing by ear, probably wrote my first song at 10. And, you know, the interesting thing is it's music's always been the center of my life and always been the most important thing. But anybody that's ever been in a band knows you know, sometimes you got to make a decision at some point. So I was, you know, in college, had a band, was in law school, had a band, was in Congress, still had a band, you know, practiced law, had a band, was on TV, and I didn't have a band. And I finally, a couple of years ago, just said, you know, enough's enough. This is the most important thing in my life, other than my kids. Believe it or not, when I ran for Congress at 29, that's insanely young to run for Congress. Didn't know anybody, but I had no fear because, like, I'd literally tell people, hey, if you don't want to vote for me, America's great. Vote for the other guy. I'm fine with that. And it was the same thing with TV. I just sort of got on TV on a lark. And if people said, hey, you suck at TV, I go, yeah, I guess I do. That's okay. I'm kind of, you know, it beats practicing law. But music was the one thing that really meant a lot, meant the world to me. So I don't know. I guess I had always just recorded. I was sort of a studio rat for years and finally just decided to take a jump and see how it went. It's gone a lot better than I thought it would.
Now, as a TV personality and especially coming out of Congress, was there any holding back when you decided I'm going to take this one public? I'm going to take Scarborough as its own thing public? Like, is that walking off a cliff?
That is, you know, it's funny. It's sort of like when Meek and I started Morning Joe, we jumped off a cliff and we said, hey, listen, we're going to do a show different from every other show. We're not going to report on Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan and all the other things that everybody else was reporting about. We're going to talk foreign policy and politics. We're going to have 15-minute interviews. And everybody said, well, you're crazy, but it worked out. And so I kind of sat down with Mika about a year and a half ago. I said, hey, listen, I've written 400 songs. I've spent the past year like recording 50 of them. And I think I probably need to do something with my music before I die. And I said, I'm going to get killed. Like, I'm going to get slaughtered, you know, but I just think I have to do it. And she said, I agree with you on both points. they're going to kill you, but you have to do it. Because I will say, you know, Mika, when we first started doing the show, I just never let people hear my music. And she had got a hold of a CD and came back. She said, you know, you're good at this. You need to do this. And so she pushed and we started playing live and, you know, we played live every week on the Upper West Side, got good crowds, packed the places out, and, you know, and it was, again, it went a lot better than Meek and I expected. We went down to South by Southwest, played there last year. That went well. And so we, you know, I expected be a problem, but I just didn't care. I got to a stage where I said, well, this is what I love more than anything else. I'm going to do it. And if it goes badly, well, who cares? I'm going to be finally pursuing what I love the most.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Joe Scarborough.
So I was thinking about that part of it, obviously, the getting killed and you know, how I was talking about earlier with my first impression before I'd even heard it, that you sort of have to get past the novelty. And I thought how unfair that is for anybody that wants to do it, because ultimately creative people are creative people. And having to tell them, oh, no, you were introduced to me just as a musician, that's the box, that's the same box you have to play in forever. You were just introduced to me as an actor, so you can't be a musician, and vice versa. It really is unfair, because I'll reference an interview. The one before right. this was with the band Rooney, which is Robert Schwartzman, the director, actor, right. you know, of the Coppola family and all that. You know, yeah. and they grow up the same way. It's like, but I like doing all of these things. So for you to put yourself out there like that, it shouldn't actually be that surprising, even though it is.
Well, you know, the thing is, everybody's got a band. I understand the skepticism. John McEnroe's got a band. You know, everybody's got a band. But what when I talked to Sony and Red, he said, listen, here's the deal. I want to put out an EP a month. I've got 400 songs. I've recorded 50 of them. Most of the songs that were on, you know, the first EP and the second EP, you know, a couple that I sent you, I just wrote, you know, I wrote one of them, The Weeds Are Sounding One. I wrote that 4th of July weekend. I keep writing songs. It's kind of what I do, you know? And so I said, I'm just going to keep coming at people with songs every month. And the first month they may go, hey, John McEnroe's band doesn't completely suck. And then the second month they'll be, okay, well, those are 8 songs that aren't the worst songs I've ever heard. And then, and then, after a year, you're looking back and you say, well, wait a second, this guy's released, you know, what, 40, 50 songs. And he says he's going to do it for the next 3 years. And they're pretty consistent. And some of them I even like, and you know,
it's like winning
by attrition. You're exactly right. It's by attrition. And at some point, you know, the music's good or it's not good. I listen to things on Spotify, not to make a statement. I listen to things on Spotify because I like the songs. So at some point as I explained to Sony, I said it's that scene in the Tom Hanks movie, Castaway, where, you know, he keeps going out and the wave just keeps coming in, knocking him back. I said, well, that's me. Every month it's going to be 4 more songs, and we'll just see how long it lasts. Mm-hmm. And I hopefully it lasts a good long time.
Well, I am a fan of these songs, and I will say, right from the beginning too, the one thing that you notice is you do so many styles that there is not a genre. You don't play in a genre. And then it occurred to me, well, look at that. Joe Scarborough is a millennial. Because, you know, artists these days, bands these days, that, you know, when we grew up, that's what it all was. You were a goth kid, you were a rock kid, you were a pop kid, or
right.
whatever, you know, and you didn't go outside of that. And the kids growing up nowadays and coming out nowadays, the artists, they don't play by that game at all. You know, everybody's sort of everything. And look at you, you've sort of fell into that as well. Like, it's so interesting. Well, like that first song that we hear with Mystified on the first EP,
right?
You know, it's sort right. of got this 80s sort of electronic flavor to it, almost industrial
right.
at parts. Your voice comes out like the guy from Psychedelic Furs, which I'm such a big fan of anyway, and I think that's what was appealing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's just a huge compliment. I mean,
And but right after that,
heaven, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, but right after that, you completely switch genres and you bring the horns in, and then there's Let's Fall in Love, which is this great, you know, other ballad. Like, where does that come from? How do you find the ability to be so flexible on your sounds?
Well, I think that first of all, you know, I've been around a while, so you know, I remember going to the record store when I wasn't around when the Hindenburg crashed, but I do remember walking to the music store and seeing Murmur when it first got released.
Yeah.
I said, oh my God, what is that? And picked it up, took it home, listened to it. And I remember being just as excited. You know, it's so funny. I was just remembering this the other day because I wrote, I've sort of been listening to Weezer again. But I remember getting elected in 95 and people asking, you know, hey, so what music do you listen to, new congressman? And, you know, a lot of the Republicans were saying Karen Carpenter and, you know, the Carpenters, all this other stuff. Pat Boone, I was like, well, I'm listening to two new groups you've probably never heard of, Weezer and Green Day, which in, you know, 94, it was, you know, they were still pretty new. So I've obviously influenced by a ton of stuff, especially the Beatles, but The most exciting thing about how things are today compared to how they were, 20 years ago is I've got studio in my house. It's Pro Tools. I can experiment. I can bring in a horns for a song if I want to. I can, if I decide I want to get a completely different sound, I can do that as well. You have extraordinary freedom recording that you just didn't used to have. I mean, it used to be, run into the studio and, save as much money as you can and get three or four songs that sound about the same so people can pigeonhole you. I think there's just so much more freedom now, not only with recording, but also obviously with distribution, that you can experiment a lot more, and especially if you're doing projects like I'm doing month to month. I think my biggest challenge actually is narrowing things down a bit. Mm-hmm. I have all this freedom, but you're right, going from a psychedelic furs song to sort of a one with a big horn section and then sort of a 3-4 U2 type ballad. I think as I move forward, the real challenge is still going in some different directions, but at least making the individual EPs a little more consistent.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Joe Scarborough.
On the new EP, we've heard Monkey House already, which sort of has the, the Let My Love Open the Door chords. And the artwork that goes with this EP sort of says it all. I mean, it's laying right out there. I spend most of my time, especially in the past year, talking to bands about politics.
Right.
Musicians, they've always been great bedfellows, politics and music. It sort of does surprise me a little bit. And maybe it's because, you write what you know. And this is what's surrounding all of us. But that's sort of what I'm getting from this, from this EP as well, is... direct attack. I don't know. Am I wrong?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, the second song, the sort of the Weezer inspired song, When Will You Go, was written 4th of July weekend. And that was, it's written 2 days after, the President of the United States decided to write some really nasty tweets about my fiance and myself. So it's kind of hard for that not to influence you, but it's so funny. Everybody was calling because, it was a tweet where he said that, we had hung out at Mar-a-Lago for hours and Mickey came with a bloody face and all of these other lies. And it sort of exploded. And everybody was texting and calling, hey, are you okay? You and Mika okay? Well, we were okay. We were recording that weekend. We had planned to go ahead and record. And so I decided, just to go with it and wrote the song. And I think because I think the August EP is probably going to be a little more focused on politics than most of the stuff that I do, because you don't want to get hit over the head with it. And I didn't get into music to talk about politics. I actually love music because it's a break from politics, but sometimes the two go together. And it was just a crazy, crazy time when we were going in to record the August EP, and I said, "Hey guys, I think I'm going to write another song. I'm going to write a song that we're going to stick in there." And so that's what When Will You Go ended up being.
And you were telling me that it was originally supposed to be a bit more Cars influenced, but went Weezer, right?
Yeah, I always loved the beginning of Best Friend's Girl. I love the guitars on that. I love that click and like almost like a direct input. And always loved Rick Ocasek's producing. And so that's the direction I thought it was going to go in. And then just by dumb luck, I stumbled over an old amp. And I've been playing a Fender Twin Reverb and a Tele since the early '80s. So very straightforward American sound, and I haven't really deviated from that. But I couldn't get the right sort of distortion that I wanted. And I stumbled over an old amp that Rivers Cuomo had used on the Blue Album for Weezer. And it's a Mitchell Pro 100 or something like that. And played it, turned it up. I got this great distortion sound. It's really clean. It really is, and we were talking about this before, it really actually sounds more like the Green album than the Blue album, if you're a Weezer aficionado. And listened to it, I said, okay, wait a second. There's another great thing about Pro Tools, because when I first wrote it, I said, well, you know, maybe it's going to be like, I don't know if you've ever heard of M83 Graveyard Girl, but
I love the song. I play that all the time at my house. Yeah.
Oh my God! Since we have similar tastes, because you're hitting all my high notes as far as psychedelic furs and everything. So I started out going, well, you know, I've got this huge sort of room, sort of garage type room where we put the drums in the middle and just get a massive sound. So I thought I was going to go that direction. And then I said, no, wait a second. I think I'm going to tighten it up a lot, and I'm going to make it like Best Friend's Girl. But it ended up, when I heard the amp, I said, wait a second. This is, you know, actually the Weezer sound might work best. And so I went that direction instead. And again, that's the exciting thing about having Pro Tools and having a studio. And it's a pretty simple studio. And, the main part of it, it's a fairly small room, but you can do a million different things with it. And so that's the direction we went.
It's such a fun song. And again, that's what I've sort of felt about all of them so far. And the fact that you have, like, have you said, 400 songs sitting around, you know, just waiting with 50 of them already recorded. It's insane and awesome. And so I'm excited to hear what the rest of them are. I mean, so the two songs, you know, I've heard from this EP. What's left on it?
Got a song called Party Line, and it was actually a song that was inspired by Heaven. While we're talking about psychedelic furs, which was one of my favorite songs from the psychedelic furs, and then the last song is Catch Me If You Can, which is a pretty straightforward sort of indie rock song. So I think there are more guitars on the second EP. The horns are sort of reeled in a good bit. And so this sounds probably a little more consistent from beginning to end, but there's still a lot of different styles going on there.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. I really enjoy, like I said, the EPs, and enjoy talking to you too.
Yeah, it's exciting. I really, I can't thank you enough for having me on. And, it's a real thrill for me. And I mean that.
My thanks to Joe. And he's still releasing music. That was 2017. He still releases it regularly out there. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out so you can keep up with all the interviews that I do every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do give a rating, leave a review while you're hanging around. That always helps out so much. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Salt and Peppa, In Vogue, Teddy Swims, The Martinis, Daniel Johnson, Willie Nelson, Eurythmics, Silverchair, Good Neighbors, Goldfrapp, Hermanos Gutierrez, and my interview with Chrissy Hine of The Pretenders. That's what you can hear when you tune in weeknights, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.